The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Glad to be here with everybody today. This is episode 444, dated Monday, May 25th, 2026. This is Memorial Day. So we're going to honor our veterans and all other people that we remember fondly. So before we continue, let me introduce our sports spelunkers that we have so far. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena. It is 72 and sunny. It is going to cool down later in the week, but it's a beautiful day here. And just got through doing what everybody should do on Memorial Day, other than honoring our veterans. We should listen to a baseball game. And I just got through listening to a good chunk of the Cardinals Brewers game, which I may talk about in a few minutes, but it's great to be here on Memorial Day.
We are coming out of a rainy period. It's starting to dry out. Temperatures are about 70 to 75, so we're doing pretty well for this time of year. Reverend Michael Garrett.
Yes, and welcome from Missouri City, Texas, where it is 89 degrees with partly sunny skies. They're forecasting more rain. We had a weekend of torrential rain and storms and power outages. Of course, we were blessed that we didn't have a power outage, but several thousand people did. But it's nice out there now.
Don Wardlow.
Yeah, Bob, it's a decent day in Jersey, but boy, did we ever have rain on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday was when I was supposed to go to Yankee Stadium. Well, that got rained out, and Sunday was even worse. I don't know how they played.
It's funny because the Red Sox played yesterday, and if I have time, I'm going to rant about that because it was very bad weather conditions, and I want to get into that maybe for a minute as to who makes the decisions like that. Anyway, I'd like to thank those people who make it possible for... Yes?
I am here. This is Peter.
Peter Alcho is here. So how are you, Peter?
I just arrived. We're doing fine. It's pouring rain here in Coos Bay, which is unusual for, well, not unusual, but it is pouring rain. And, but it's supposed to get nice, tomorrow afternoon into Wednesday. We'll continue our usual weather pattern, which is about 65 degrees, sunny and breezy.
All right. Let me thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you for what you do. Peter from Canada, thank you for posting our programs on your chat board. It's much appreciated. Our media sources, thank you for airing us when you do. It's much appreciated. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions, who archives our shows on my website. In order to find your archives, go to www.BrancoEvents.com. Arrow down until you get the Sports Roundtable podcast. Click on them, and you will see most of our archived programs from latest to earliest.
Merci, Jackie.
I want to say hi to Cindy, who's our host for today's program, along with Brad, who is our streamer for today's show. And because we are being streamed live, let me give out the email address for Sports Roundtable. It is bobbranco93@gmail.com. bobbranco93@gmail.com. We are supposed to have a guest, but he's going to be a few minutes late because
he is here.
Trent Ferguson.
Hello, Bob. Nice to meet you. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Trent is a sports talk host himself. He does a show called Out of Sight Sports. And what's the name of that radio station, Trent?
It is 106.3 The Streak, and you can stream us at 1063thestreak.com. I'm on every afternoon from 3 till 5. I talk everything from pro sports and college sports to a lot of local stuff. I have guests on my show, too, and I'm just blessed to be able to do what I do. But, you know, I'm totally blind, Bob, but I never let it stop me, and the phrase "I can't" will never be in my vocabulary.
I'm proud of you, Trent. Keep up the good work, and we're just going to give you twice as much work today. How's that?
Well, I look forward to it for sure. And just in full transparency, I'm waiting on my ride to leave the station. So if my audio changes or cuts out, my sincerest apologies. If I do drop off, I will come back ASAP. So I just wanted to put that out there in full transparency.
So you're from Florida, correct?
Yes, sir. Originally born and raised in Florida in a town called Sebring. I went to the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind in St. Augustine. I went there from 2007 to 2017. Recently just graduated from the University of South Florida, earned my bachelor's degree in mass communications, and now I'm in radio. I've done a lot of different things in radio. I've been a local government correspondent for a station up in the Palm Coast area. And I've done a couple of other things as well. So I've always loved radio. It's in my blood, so to speak.
So how about those Tampa Bay Rays? The best record in the American League, but probably in baseball.
Let me tell you something, man. This Rays team is tremendous. And tremendous is an understatement because they're winning. I'm going to quote my good friend Brian Anderson from Rays Television. He calls the games with Dwayne Stats. And Tampa Bay is winning by playing small ball, and they're winning by, you know, doing all the fundamental things correctly. What I mean by that is bunting with runners in scoring position. You know, the bunt used to be cool, you know, and people used to be like, oh, why are they bunting? Why are they doing this? Well, they're doing it, because, Tampa Bay has, shown that they can, win, with it. So, very happy with that.
It's still cool, Trent. A lot of people don't want to use it, but it is still cool.
Oh, by all means, it's still cool. You know, and I love it. I also love the, you know, the fact that they're, not trying to completely hammer the ball. You know, Junior Caminero has hit 13 home runs so far this season. And Yandy Diaz, two of the guys in their lineup, have also hit, home runs as well. But they're not trying to hammer the ball. And people have asked me, they're like, well, what's the difference between this team and the 2023 team? Well, the 2023 club, several players were hitting over their heads. You know, Yandy Diaz had like 25 home runs through the first weeks of the season, and they're like, ah, you know, I don't know what's happening. You know, Brandon Lau was hitting like 350, and he usually averages, you know, 220, 230, at least whenever he was with the Rays, even though he did hit 31 home runs. So people were hitting over their heads. Now, this club just has all the fundamentals together. They work on it every year, you know, every week on the field. At least Kevin Cash does like hitting drills and defensive drills, and all these things are paying off. So, and speaking of the Rays, they are playing right now. I'm monitoring it. It was tied 2-2 last time I checked.
They are winning as we speak. Somebody hit a 2-run home run at the top of the 11th against Baltimore. So
great.
After the game off, it was 4-2 Tampa Bay.
Good. Thank you for that update. I'm so glad. I would like to hear who that, I'll have to look at the box score, see who that two home run homer is. But, to me, guys, I think the Rays are the real deal. I really do.
Your comment reminds me of something about the value of sort of the small ball, the bunting, the moving runners, you know, base to base and stealing bases and all that stuff that, seems to be, undervalued. And every year, I just find this interesting, and I'm curious to know what anybody's reaction is. In the playoffs, all of a sudden they begin talking about how important this stuff is, you know, and the teams that do it well tend to win. And yet, the, you know, the regular season or they undervalue it. So people hit lots of home runs. And then when the playoffs come around, those teams that are that way don't do very well. And you would think that some general managers beyond the Tampa Bays would figure this out and say, maybe we need to rethink the way we do business.
Peter, this, it's interesting you say that. Remember we talked last week, and Trent, this is Mitch Pomerantz from LA, big Dodger fan.
Good.
Yeah. But we talked last week about the game, the difference between the NBA regular season and the NBA postseason. I think there's a lot of the similarity in baseball. In the playoffs, in the series games, you're looking for pitching to dominate, and pitching typically does. And so I think that managers are more willing to play small ball. Tampa Bay is not the only team that plays small ball. The Dodgers just got through a very good three-game series against the Brewers. The Brewers play small ball. They have the second or third lowest home run total in MLB. And they bunted and they stole bases, which was a problem for the Dodgers because none of our pitchers know how to throw to second base or hold a runner on first. But we did manage to win two out of three. But no, there are some other teams that play small ball, and I'm beginning to think that it may have a resurgence. I hope so, because some of my favorite Dodgers teams from the 60s, as we've talked about before, were small ball teams with Maury and Willie Davis and guys like that. So
I agree with you on the pitching, especially in the postseason. And Trent, this is Michael Garrett from Missouri City, Texas.
Hello, Michael. Nice to meet you.
I'm an Astros fan. So
great to meet you.
I guess I should have said this is Peter from Coos Bay, Oregon, before I went on my rant about what I talked about. So.
And I'm Bob Branco from Massachusetts, Trent.
Yeah, I could hear by your accent, you sound like you have that Boston accent. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, since Trent is from Florida, I was listening to the Cardinals Brewers game on the Cardinals broadcast, and one of their sponsors is a resort in the Ozarks in Missouri, the Land Shark Resort. And it reminded me, I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. I'm a kind of a part-time parrot head. And I remember Land Shark beer, never had any, but when Buffett was alive, he had Land Shark beer. And that was the name of the ballpark for a couple of 3 years in Miami. They had the naming rights to the stadium. So I brought back memories hearing that commercial during the Cardinals Brewers game for the Land Shark Resort in somewhere in the Ozarks where it was.
Oh, interesting.
And Trent, I'm Don from New Jersey, and another alum of the school in St. Augustine is Enrique Olu, who is my
very good friend.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that. You know,
he's
my last few years as a broadcaster. He was my consultant because I didn't know enough Spanish to interview ball players who couldn't speak English. And we had a bunch of them. So he and I, you know, did lessons, you know, to learn all the things I knew needed to know to ask a player the questions of the day. This is back in 2001 and 2002. I worked with Enrique and he's been a guest on my program a few times.
He was a guest here as well.
And a good guest he was.
Yeah, Enrique is, you mentioned Enrique, he's a great guy, very good friend. He and his wife Deb are class acts. Every time I go to Rays games, you know, I go up to the booth and pay him a visit whenever I get a chance to come up. And, you know, he's been a mentor of mine. He's been a guest on my show. He's a regular on my show. He's going to be, for sure, especially as, the Rays, continue to hopefully, continue to play well and do a good thing. So I'm happy with,
If you ever want another old broadcaster on your show, call me. Bob can tell you how.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. Now, it was something I wanted to run by you guys, if I may ask a question.
Go right ahead.
I'm a baseball purist. I'm 27 years of age, but I am a baseball purist. I'm probably the youngest person on this call, maybe. I say all that to say, what do you guys think of the ghost runner at second base in extra innings? To me,
no, thank you.
Never liked it from day one.
You have touched a nerve.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that because to me, I don't like it either. I think that, runners and, you know,
baseball players should earn everything. I understand I understand why they did it during the COVID year. You had a shortened season. You know, I totally get that. But that was, you know, 6 years ago. And I know that they're trying to, you know, take care, you know, they're trying to shorten games and things like that. But there are so many other ways to go about it. Don't put a runner on second base. You give up the lead that quick just by, you know, singling into right field, for crying out loud. It's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, that was a good rule for college softball in the 1970s. That's where it originally happened. But now even softball doesn't use it. They got rid of it. So this is, I call it the Manfred Mann rule, you know, because of Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
Liked it. Don't think I ever will like it.
I also like the Manfred Mann reference too, sure. By the way. Love the
thanks for the reference. I never understood that because I couldn't think of a Manfred Mann song that connected. Thank you for clarifying that it's because of Rob Manfred. Appreciate
exactly.
Blinded by the light, Mitch.
I hate
there
that
you
song.
Go. Blinded by the light.
Blinded by the pitcher.
And the mighty Quinn. Do we have any baseball players named Quinn that are mighty?
No, we had a basketball player named Quinn Buckner.
That's true. Used to be a Celtic, and he was a Hawk, I believe, at one point. Or not a Hawk, a Buck. Quinn Buckner was a Buck.
Speaking of small ball, the other new rule I hate, and the other ones I can deal with, but the other rule that I hate is limiting pitchers to only being able to throw over to first base twice.
I love that one,
Rock,
Mitch. I love that one. It speeds things up, and it brings steals back to the game. Lou Brock would love it.
What's that young man playing for the Reds, the super speedy guy?
De La Cruz.
He should steal 200 bases, because I'll tell you what I would do if I had that kind of speed. I would force the pitcher to throw over twice, and on the third time, I would be gone. We need a Ricky Henderson or a Maury Wills or a Lou Brock back in baseball. They would destroy pitchers. They would steal 200 bases. That is a horrible, horrible rule.
Even Deion Sanders.
Yes, sir.
He had that kind of speed. In baseball. He could do that.
Then how come nobody's doing it? We have Chandler Simpson.
Chandler Simpson's a beast.
Oh, he's a pain in the butt to a lot of teams in a good way.
Yeah.
But it's a good question.
There's a guy in the other league, Corbin Carroll.
Corbin Carroll from Arizona.
Diamondbacks. Yeah.
So why aren't they doing it?
Trent, what do you think of the ABS now that we're talking about new baseball rules?
I personally like it. I've said this on my show a couple of times. The automated balls and strikes system is, at first I'm like, oh man, you're going to make everything automated. But you know what? I also don't mind it because some umpires are terrible behind the plate. Like some are just like, I'm like, you're calling, you know, balls that are, you know, 6 inches out of the strike zone, but yet you're calling them strikes. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You should be able to challenge these calls. And here they are. So I appreciate them being able to challenge and, you know, it adds a lot to the team. There's no doubt about that. But from an automation standpoint and from an accuracy standpoint, it's pretty accurate. So I do like it. On the other side of things, though, I'm kind of a rebel. I appreciate the ejections that when people, especially when they argue balls and strikes, I appreciate people getting thrown out. Aaron Boone, case in point, perfect example, and kind of paying tribute to the late Bobby Cox. You know, he's been ejected, what, 162 times or something like that? So it's amazing.
I guess it comes down to this. Would you rather challenge or argue?
I think I'd rather challenge at this point, to be honest with you, because an argument's not going anywhere. The entertainment value of the argument has been taken away, but the accuracy of the calls are there. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the ABS. I didn't know how to feel about it at first. I'll tell you the truth.
I wonder how Earl Weaver would have felt about that rule. He liked to argue too.
Billy Martin too.
Billy Martin.
You know,
Aaron Boone is the current hothead in Major League Baseball.
You got a point there, Trent.
We had a throwback yesterday, and I was going to talk about the upcoming Women's College World Series. There was a coach for University of Florida who are not going to make the World Series. They got beat, but their coach, Tim Walton, got tossed in the seventh inning. He was just totally hot under the collar with the umpire and said that, you know, the strike calls were terrible. That's what he got tossed for.
Yeah, they weren't great. I watched a little bit of that game, Don, the one you were talking about, and he, Tim Walton did have a good point. I feel bad overall though for that softball team. I mean, you had the catcher, Taylor Shoemaker, coming into that series with Texas Tech. She had like 77, 78 RBIs and she was hitting at a very high level, especially for a catcher. So I feel bad for her. And it seemed to me she kind of cooled off, during that particular series, for the most part. But then also they ran into tough pitching and, Florida also committed, you know, so many errors that they shouldn't have made. And they got a little overwhelmed and things like that. So it's sad to see them, you know, not make it to the World Series, but look at the baseball team. I mean, the baseball team is still there, even though they lost to Georgia on Saturday. They're playing a regional in Gainesville, or they're playing a game on Friday as part of the NCAA tournament. I could see them easily going back to Omaha.
And if you don't mind me taking a minute here, I'll just say who's in the Women's College World Series that starts on Thursday. First game is Mississippi State, who knocked out Oklahoma. And now, if you don't follow that sport, Oklahoma not being in the College World Series for women is like the sun not coming up in the East, and or like my beloved Huskies not being in the Final Four. It's just it was just a tragedy for them. They were just beyond words when they lost yesterday. So Mississippi State, who beat them, is going to play Texas Tech in the first game. Texas Tech is the ones who beat Florida. The second game, 2:30 Thursday afternoon, Eastern time, Tennessee plays Texas. The late session, 7 o'clock Eastern, Arkansas takes on Nebraska. And 9:30 p.m., the final game, and that's UCLA, number eight in the World Series seeding against Alabama, who's been number one seeded in the country from the beginning of the playoffs on. So it's going to be very exciting. Every pitch of it is going to be available on the internet. You don't have to go to the local colleges, which I normally do anyway, but, it's going to be from coast to coast. It'll be available, which is
and Westwood One's covering it as well.
That's who I mean.
And oh, you said, okay. You said the internet. I didn't.
I didn't think I was supposed to mention Westwood One, but, that's right. That's where the game is.
Why are we not supposed to mention Westwood One?
I don't know. I just wasn't sure if that
was. Okay.
Because I certainly don't pay them, you know, for the rights or anything like that. So,
but anyway,
looking forward to it. And on a smaller term in Division III, my old alma mater, both the Rowan Profs baseball and softball are in the Division III World Series. So hooray for them.
And since we're talking about alma maters, I probably should give props to the Princeton Tigers, who just won the men's lacrosse NCAA championship.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. I didn't know how that was going to come out.
So they won. So that's pretty cool.
They were going to play Notre Dame, right?
Yeah. And they won going away, really.
Beautiful.
Hmm. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs.
Hmm.
And,
Peter, before you change topic there, I just wanted to put a plug in for my alma mater, hoping that my Lady Longhorns can repeat. So we're not as good as we were last year, but we've still got an ace pitcher who, if they pitch her too much, they're going to tear her arm off. But
it's not such a risk in softball because they throw underhand.
That's true, but she pitches a lot. She pitched.
Wasn't there a problem last year with another Texas school last year when this person, I can't remember who it was, pitched a lot and finally just sort of fell apart at the end?
It was Kennedy for Texas Tech. She'll be in it this year. Now, they don't have to worry about Oklahoma, and that is a big worry. But what I worry about is there might not be anybody at the games because Oklahoma is not part of it. I don't know how much attendance they're going to get at Devon Park in Oklahoma City.
It'll be the schools that travel.
And a lot of the schools, you know, are relatively close, you know, apart from UCLA, I think everybody else is pretty fairly nearby, you know, Nebraska, I guess, is performing.
So you keep mentioning
that school out in Westwood as a Trojan alum. I'm getting kind of sick and tired of hearing UCLA is in all these playoff games, although USC apparently had a pretty good baseball season. I'm not sure men's baseball. So I'm not sure whether we're going to be in the super regionals or not, but yeah, just for those who don't know, UCLA is engaged in a fairly serious legal fight. Actually, they're involved in two legal fights. So I'm not even going to talk about the Rose Bowl issue, but their baseball stadium was apparently constructed on land that was supposed to have been turned into low-cost housing for veterans. And that's appropriate to talk about on Veterans Day. And there's a legal battle going on. They've already lost some of the property, but I think the judge gave a stay that they can play there this year, but they may lose their baseball field. I think it's called Spalding Field, because that stadium was not supposed to be constructed. That was supposed to have been, it's on VA property. The VA, there's a big facility out in West LA, and they leased it to the Bruins, but it was not supposed to be used for sports, for athletics. So that's going to be an interesting battle over the next couple of 3 years. Bruins may have to find another place to play.
Yeah. So Trent, Peter was going to talk about the NBA playoffs, and my first comment is the Knicks are about to sweep Cleveland, who beat Detroit. This NBA East has really flipped around. You know, I thought I would never say this publicly, but I'm going to say it today. I'm going to change my mind. The Knicks are going to win the whole thing. That's my prediction.
Let's go, Knicks. That's an interesting thing for sure. You know, the Knicks look they look great in so many ways. First and foremost, their bench is great. Their starting lineup, their first unit. You know, I was reading an article in The Athletic, and I mentioned this on the air. You know, it was during the Atlanta series. They were actually thinking about changing their lineup because they weren't really gelling together. The first unit wasn't that great, and it was following a loss to Atlanta in a game that, frankly, they should have won. And Mike Brown was like, no, you know, I'm going to stick with those guys. And sure enough, they're really playing well. And I love the fact that, you know, that they complement each other. They share the ball. There aren't any egos on that team. You know, Jalen Brunson is Jalen Brunson. He'll always be that. But, I mean, he's sharing the ball. They do so many great things on this club, and I really love watching him. But to me, what really told the story was the fact that they came back from 22 points down in game one against Cleveland. That game one win against the Cavaliers really took the wind out of Cleveland's sails, and Cleveland said, oh, forget about it. We're done. And you can tell.
I think the problem with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Hold on a second. We're not ready for listeners yet, Angel. Is that Angel? Yeah, we're not ready yet. We'll let you guys in a few moments. So hang right on there. We'll be right back.
Go ahead, Michael.
Go ahead, Michael.
So Peter knows my favorite basketball player. He played in that game Saturday night. And in that first half, he was playing lights out. He played defense. He shot the ball. But in the fourth quarter, where was he? He did his normal thing. He had no impact in the fourth quarter.
And the funny thing was, Michael, when that fourth quarter happened, I was thinking of you. because, you know, obviously I wasn't the only person, you know, people noticed it, you know, he just doesn't seem to be able to come through when it really matters, or sometimes he does, but you know, 90% of the time he doesn't.
Now, which player is that?
Times.
James Harden.
Okay.
James Harden. Yeah. So I'm going to give sort of a slightly different take about the Knicks. I don't want to totally downplay what they've done, because they've done them. They've won 11 games in a row, which in the playoffs is really hard to do. Or I guess it's 10, and they play they play tonight. But you have to think about, if you're going to pick them to win the West, I'd be really cautious, and here's why. They haven't played anybody. The first round they played against Atlanta. Okay, you know, Atlanta was what, the sixth seed. And they, you know, they won. They got their act together and won going away. Okay, fine. Then they play the Sixers, who were during the regular season not very good, shall we say. In fact, they were terrible most of the year.
Although they beat the Celtics.
I know. That was a fluke. And the Celtics deserve to lose. I'm not here to, you know, let's be real. The Sixers spent all their efforts being the Celtics. And when it came down to the Knicks, I think they sort of, they lost their whatever, their mojo to win. So that's, and then they're playing Cleveland. Okay. Cleveland beat Detroit again. They had 2-7 game series. They won both of them to their credit. But now they seem to, especially after game one, as somebody said, they seem to have sort of lost their energy. So am I saying the Knicks deserved, you know, are terrible? No, of course they deserve everything they're getting, but I would be more than a bit cautious to pick them against either San Antonio or Oklahoma City.
I'll go one step further, whichever team wins the war between Oklahoma City and San Antonio, it will be one of those teams in 5 or 6 games, and nobody here wants James Dolan to get a bigger head than he already has.
That's true. That's true. So I agree with Mitch. I mean, that's really my point. Mitch, we're coming to the same place. I think the Knicks are going to lose to either one of those teams. Maybe 6 or 7, not 5 or 6. But I think they are going to lose. And, the Knicks really have done what they're supposed to do, that to their great credit. They haven't folded like they've done in prior years. They're playing really, really well. I just don't see them beating either one of those other two teams, especially since, let's assume they win tonight. I think their first game is June 3rd, might be June 4th. So that's like 10 days.
It's on the 5th.
It's on the 5th. Thank you. It's on the 5th.
Almost 2 weeks.
That's a long time. And whoever wins that series, even if it goes 7 games, it's going to end on this Sunday, which is what, May 31st. They're going to get 4 or 5 days off anyway. So the whole advantage of having the rest, I don't think plays into this conversation. So I am not optimistic about the Knicks' chances of winning the championship. I'm a Knicks fan, by the way, just so you know. I think they've done great, but I don't see it.
Hey guys, quickly here. I'm getting ready to, I gotta head on my ride is here to pick me up from the station. So if I lose you, Bob, I'll join in, as soon as I get home. I only live like 5 minutes away. So I may have to take a quick hiatus if my signal, craps out for lack of a
word. All right. That's right. We'll be here for a little while. And when you come back, they'll let us know that you're back.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks guys.
Safe travels.
Appreciate you bearing with
me. You're welcome. All right.
By the way, you guys were talking about James Harden. Isn't Harden one of those players who has a reputation of being great during the regular season and then disappearing in the playoffs?
Yes.
You know, you can't count on Harden in the playoffs, never could. And there are probably a bunch of other guys who have that same reputation. But James Harden is not a playoff basketball player.
I don't know why Cleveland won.
I was just going to say, I was surprised that Cleveland made that deal or trade or however they acquired him, because I just didn't see. I mean, everybody knows his history.
Mm-hmm.
I told somebody this morning, I said, they probably just should have put him in the fourth quarter so he could play.
It really is. You know, he's one of those players that should be a lot better than he is. But he's not. So,
consistency. Consistency right. is what he's
yeah. doing. Yeah. 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 Anyway, so I am, you know, I'm with Mitch. I don't see the Knicks winning the championship, but you know, I hope I'm wrong.
And speaking of magic, San Antonio seems to indeed have Oklahoma City's number, and I don't get it. I really don't, but I guess that series is 2-2.
Yeah.
And it's going back to Oklahoma City, but home court doesn't seem to matter in that series.
Well, but the injuries do seem to matter.
Yeah, and there are a lot of them.
There are a lot of them, and that may give the Knicks the chance to win, I suppose. I just don't see it. So I don't know what to make of that series. I truly don't. I just, my sense that this is not quite what I mean. My sense was that once the game got out of hand, Oklahoma, they just sort of gave up. You know, I don't think they made much effort in the, third quarter, fourth quarter, whenever it was when they fell behind. And, you know, so we'll see what happens. What is it? Tomorrow night, I guess, is game five. I guess we'll see.
All right. So let me turn the festivities over to our listeners. So you're listening to Sports Roundtable. Trent Ferguson of Out of Sight Sports will be back momentarily. He's our guest for today's program. So, Cindy, do we have any hands raised at this particular time?
Yeah, but I was really tuned in.
Angel wanted to say something.
I think it was Angel, unless I'm mistaken about that.
No, it wasn't.
Well, whoever it was, you can speak now if you'd like.
Come on, raise your hand.
Okay,
Gene Johnson. Come on, Gene.
Oh, Gene?
Gene.
You can speak.
Wasn't. I'm lying. Well, wasn't lying, but you know.
If Gene has got his hand
raised. It was a phone number.
Oh, it's a phone
somebody
number.
Who has a phone. Well, somebody there does, you are, 937.
All right. Welcome.
There you go. Come on. You can unmute, please.
You can unmute and speak to us.
Yes. And tell us who you are.
Yeah, that would be important.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Yes, this is Jose Centeno from the great city of Dayton, Ohio.
Yay.
How are you?
Yes. I'm doing pretty good, thank you. And I am also, I grew up in New York for about 18 years, and I joined the United States Marine Corps and retired with 21 years active service.
And, congratulations.
Thank you. And then I am blind. I lost my vision because of glaucoma. So, probably by tomorrow, I'm going to be a new member because the ACB said they received my application and they are processing it now. So they said it'll take 3 working days. So I think I'm going to hear something by tomorrow. But anyway, I grew up in New York and my 3 teams, of course, is the New York Knicks, the New York Mets, and the New York Rangers. I hate the New York Yankees. All my life. I never really liked the Yankees. So anyway, this is what I'm hoping that would happen tonight, that Cleveland would beat the Knicks, take it back to New York, and then the Knicks can wrap it up there.
You want it to wrap it up at home?
Yes. So that's what I'm hoping. This is the first time that I'm on the sports with your guys. I was looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, I've been hearing a few of the community topics, different topics that the ACB has. And sports is one of my favorite because I am still a runner. I run marathons and half marathons, with team, red, white, and blue. And other runners that are sighted. And so, I'm happy to say that back in, 2022, I qualified for the Boston Marathon.
Wonderful.
And this is one thing about being a blind runner for Boston. The only thing you need is to run under 5 hours and you qualify for Boston. There's no age or time associated to qualify for Boston. As long as you're visually impaired, blind, then under 5 hours, you qualify for Boston. So I'm going to try and give it another shot. I'm training right now for the United States Air Force Marathon this September. So I'm praying, keeping my fingers crossed that I can qualify for Boston again.
Wonderful. But, speaking of New York teams, do you like the Jets and Giants?
Oh, yeah, New York Giants, yes. Okay. I forgot about the Giants. I'm glad you reminded me. Oh, yes. And I'm going to make a prediction right now with the New York Giants. I think they're going to the Super Bowl.
Whoa. That's a bold prediction.
With the new coach. Yes, with the new coach. Who's that guy? Jeff Harbaugh from Baltimore. Was it Baltimore Ravens?
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
So do you know who they play the first game against?
Well, I hope it's not Dallas or the Eagles.
It's
Dallas.
Okay, now this is what I think is going to determine if they're going to have a good season. Every time they play Dallas or the Eagles, they always lose. I think the Eagles have like a 11-game winning streak against the Giants for the last few years. And so if the Giants can beat Dallas, then I think we're going somewhere.
But they better beat Dallas because their first game is at home, if I'm always correct. It's Dallas at the Giants. So if they have any chance of winning, they're going to have to win that game. And I'm not optimistic because I think the Giants – need a couple more years to get their act together, but they're definitely moving in the right direction, unlike a certain other New York team who are terrible. And I don't see any hope of them getting any better anytime soon. So,
Jose, I've got to say, this is Mitch. My late father-in-law was a Marine, and he said he was always a Marine. And that's what I've always heard. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yeah, exactly.
Both my parents were from New York. The reason I'm a Dodgers fan is because my dad was from Brooklyn and my mother was from the Bronx. So I just wanted to know that I've got New York roots.
Yes, and you know, the reason I'm here in Dayton, Ohio, because the Marines brought me here at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in 1988. So then, you know, with God's blessing, and with my and consider myself in good health. I retired in 1994 with 21 years, and then I was diagnosed with glaucoma back in 91. Then I got hired by the U.S. Postal Service as a letter carrier in 96, but then the glaucoma took its toll. August of 2015 I started losing my vision. No matter what drops I was on, the laser treatment to poke holes in the back of my eyes to let the fluid, that didn't do any good. The glaucoma was just too already deteriorating my vision. So, but I'm still blessed that I'm still able to run. I'm going to be 71 years old, June the 4th, and you know, so I'm still running. Thank God for that.
Congratulations.
So I'm going to
thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jose.
Yes. I look forward to, I sure will. And I look forward to the next, meeting that you guys have.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Anybody else, Cindy?
Yes, sir.
Who do we have?
Gene, you're up.
Gene from Ohio. Another Ohio name.
Oh boy, Ohio.
Well, I mean, I'm originally from Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's true too. You are.
You know, to be honest with you, I kind of just given up on basketball at this point, because I would have thought at least the Celtics would have at least made at least the playoffs, but we couldn't beat the Sixers, and I'm just a little.
At least they did better than the Red Sox are doing.
Well, you know, the season is young. The season is young.
Yeah.
So I'm a little optimistic at this point. I mean, look at, we beat the Braves. That's no tall task to defeat.
Well,
you know?
We have the Braves again.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, a good clap on the back for that. I honestly gotta say, if we could do that against the Dodgers, sorry, Mitch, but I mean, I doubt it. You never know though. No, Bob, I actually wanted to come in and talk to you about this whole thing about the Patriots. What is going on with, I mean, I'm not talking about you know, our coach, but is it, Diggs is considering leaving? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think Diggs is gone already.
He's a free agent. He is not with the
Patriots. But I guess from what I understand is that, you know, the Patriots have made an offer for him, but he doesn't want to stay.
Okay. I don't understand why that is, but I think right now the focus right now, from what I understand, Gene, is AJ Brown. It seems like they've got an arrangement going on, and I keep hearing this over and over again on the sports stations, that on June 1st, after 4 p.m., the Patriots will likely have AJ Brown in their fold.
The Rams dropped out of the running this morning.
I'll be impressed, but I doubt it.
The Rams were talking about trading Hopkins for Brown. I assume a draft choice would have been thrown in by the Rams, but apparently they have pulled out.
I don't know.
A question I wanted to ask you, Mitch. But before I do that, I wanted to ask the current caller, as it were. A lot of people are giving the Cincinnati Bengals a chance to do really well this year because their schedule is so weak. Have you heard anything about that?
You know, I am more of a Bengals fan than I am a Browns, but I wouldn't be surprised by that. You know, I'll be honest though, I don't follow them as much as I do the Patriots, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Apparently their schedule is pretty easy.
Good.
I heard that they were favored for like 3/4 of their games currently, you know, which doesn't mean very much, but.
It doesn't. Look at the Patriots. They had a pretty good easy season last year, and now we're, probably going to be one of the toughest seasons ever that they faced. And are we open against the Seahawks? So, you know, on a Wednesday night, I think if that's weird enough as it is.
You are correct. It's on Wednesday night.
It's on a Wednesday because it's already an Australia game on a Thursday.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't understand the NFL doing that, to be honest with you. I really don't. But and then, of course, we're supposed to play back in Germany this year, too, which I'm looking forward to that. Who is it?
Detroit.
It's Detroit? Okay.
I don't know who's playing in Germany. There are lots of...
Well, I know the last time we played in Germany, it was against the Colts and we lost.
I think it's Detroit.
I haven't gotten my schedule.
This year, I mean. I
need to download my schedule.
Yeah. No, I mean, and then you're right, Bob. I mean, the Red Sox aren't doing too well this year, but I'm a little optimistic. I know we don't have Roman Reigns. We don't have, Trevor Story at the moment.
You mean Roman Anthony?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm thinking of Roman Reigns, the wrestler. Yeah. Roman Anthony, we don't have him. We don't have Trevor. We don't have, what was it? It's,
Crochet.
How? So, but again, the season is young. I'm kind of a little optimistic. We'll at least get to 500 probably by July.
When but is Crochet coming back? Because I was going to say, even though they can't hit for anything, if they ever could figure out how to hit, you guys have some pitching. You have Peyton, holy moly, Tolley. You got him. You got Crochet, and you got others.
Gray, Suarez, Early.
Connor Early. That's who I was trying to think of, and I lost his name. But you got the pitching if you can. If
just
your
get
team
the bats.
We just need the bats. As long as you don't do it against the Yankees. That's all I got to say.
I knew you would say that.
I'm about to upset Bob and Gene. There was a story this morning.
Yes.
The Red Sox are looking to make a trade.
Oh.
I didn't hear who they were going to get back, but Duran may be in the trade.
Well, I guess it all depends on who they get back. Now, if you're telling me you're Don Alvarez, I'm going to clap my hands.
Yeah.
But if it's not going to be him, then I don't know.
Isn't like Duran one of your better hitters right now? You don't have enough hitting.
He's a jump starter.
Trent has returned.
Yordan Alvarez. You really want Yordan?
He'd be a great hitter for us.
It's Bob, and Trent is here.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Hi, Trent. Welcome back.
I'm back. I had to make the 5-minute trek home, and traffic was bad. It took 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you. We're talking about the slumping Red Sox right now, Trent. I don't know what your thoughts on my team are, but.
They're slumping, but you know that they've kind of turned it around a little bit since Alex Cora got let go. I mean, they're still.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
They're about 500 with Chad Tracy. They were way below 500 with Cora. But I don't think this whole problem is the manager's fault, no matter who the manager is. Your front office is promoting things for the players that the players can't do.
Right,
and the managers are stuck with it because they don't want to lose their jobs.
Yeah. A key part of management for me is look at the strengths of your players, see what you can do with them. Don't try to make them do something that they can't physically do. And that's what they're having an issue with right now.
They're trying to build a deck of cards, you know, like, but the pieces just keep falling out. And I don't know that, you know, I watched the games this past weekend and we had the bases loaded and I'm just thinking like, there's no way that any of our batters are going to be able to hit a home run. And the one we did, it was caught. And it just was like, oh.
That's because the wind was blowing in the wrong
direction. I know, the wrong direction. Yeah. So, you know, you just kind of have to deal with it. I'm just being a little optimistic. I just say, you know, we're coming into June now. Hopefully they pull things around, you know, start of July.
You know, Gene, I can't resist saying this, but you mentioned the Red Sox are putting together a deck of cards. Well, we already have a few aces on this pitching staff.
Well, we probably have a good royal flush. It's just we just need a couple of hitters.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bob, what the Red Sox also have are a couple of jokers for hitters.
True.
Oh.
True. I would say we probably have quite a few. I don't know. Look, I just don't see they haven't been hitting enough. You know, Will Fleming said it nicely. You know, they hit the green, you know, in Fenway. Look how many games we won in Fenway this year.
Not many.
Not many at all.
8 or 9, that's it?
That's it. And I just think that we just need a couple more hitters. And look, I would say get rid of...
Durbin.
I would say, yeah, Durbin, maybe Meyer.
I don't know. Who's going to play shortstop in Story's absence?
Find a good shortstop. You know, we had Devers playing that good spot right there, but, you know, decided to get rid of him.
We all know how that went down.
Yeah.
Well, there may be a shortstop utility man available today. I haven't gone on a transactions wire, but Kike's coming back to the Dodgers, and one of the possible, and they have to make a roster move, and one of the cuts may be Espinal, although he's not hitting much. But
he used to be Red Sox property.
Well, Espinal may... Unless they put Muncy on the IL because he almost broke his wrist again 3 or 4 nights ago. Thankfully, he didn't.
Who's the other player, Bob, that keeps shaking his hand like a million times up on bat? Is it
shaking his hand?
His hand. Is it
Contreras?
Contreras, yes. I worry about him. I really do.
Yeah, he's their big power bat right now.
I worry about him, though. I really do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway.
So Trent, thanks Gene. Trent, just want to ask you briefly, while you were gone, we were talking about the NBA playoffs. What are your thoughts on the Knicks and the Thunder and the Spurs?
I like what, I believe it was Peter, said a little while ago. looking at the Knicks schedule, I'm an Orlando Magic fan. So, I mean, that's a tough situation to be in anyway. But the Knicks, you know, he made a good point. You know, they really haven't played like truly anybody as far as like in the first round. Like they played Atlanta, you know, they played, you know, the Detroit and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I'd be interested to see. I think they'll get past Cleveland, as I said, but I don't know. It's going to be a tough situation. I think the West will once again rule the NBA as far as the championships go. I would see, you know, no matter who they land, if it's Oklahoma or, you know, San Antonio, stopping SGA and Wemby are going to be two tough tasks. And, you know, any task they land is going to be tough. So to me, I think they'll win the Eastern Conference, but I don't think they'll get out of the West. I really don't.
All right. We have about three more minutes. Cindy, anybody else with a hand raised?
So I want to make a comment. I think Trent will appreciate this.
Go ahead.
So my family, well, my wife's family are Las Vegas Golden Knights hockey fans.
Oh.
And they were playing the Avalanche, and I foolishly said, I think the Avalanche will win pretty easily. But I said that before I didn't realize what happened. The Knights hired a really good coach, John Tortorella, who I think has totally turned, obviously has turned the Vegas season around. And I, obviously they're going to, you know, they're up 3-0 against the Avalanche. They're going to win that series. And I'm not knowledgeable enough to know how the East is going to go. But you got to give Vegas a good shot of winning the Stanley Cup, and it has to do with good coaching. Trent coach a Florida team who did really well for themselves when he was coach.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did, without a doubt.
Yeah. So it just shows the value of really good coaching. You know, and, you know, the Knicks, going back to the Knicks for a second, a lot of people were critical that they got rid of whoever that guy's name was, you know, last year. But, you know, Brown has done a really, really good job. You know, it looks like a really good pick on the manager's
Peter,
part.
The good issue coaching, with Mike matters. Brown, the issue with Mike Brown is when he was with the Lakers, when he's been with everybody,
yeah,
he couldn't coach defense. And
yeah,
however it's happened, apparently he's figured out that you got to play some defense in the NBA.
Yes, somehow it's worked. Yeah, I agree with you. Somehow it's worked, and sometimes it's a good fit between the players and the coach, whatever it is. But I'm sort of really intrigued with what the Vegas Golden Knights are doing, not just because, you know, that's all we talk about in this house when it comes to sports, but yeah, because, you know, good coaching makes a huge difference. And, so we'll see what happens with them.
By the way, was Colorado, is this another example of an NHL, team having the best record in the, league and then falling apart in the playoffs?
Hockey's
at least they fell apart in the final four, as it were.
Yeah.
At least they, like the Bruins fell apart a few years ago.
I think they did.
Yeah.
Another example of teams with the most points not making it to the cup.
And that's
that happened to the Bruins in 23.
I remember it well. Anyway, I'm monitoring the Knights to see what happens. Cause I thought the Avalanche would win pretty easily, but they clearly are not going to.
And guys, if I can get a very quick thing in, and there'll be more about it in Bob's magazine. If you read Consumer Vision, I'm going to write a piece about it. Felix Rosenquist won the best 500 I've seen in 20 years. I've been a fan going back to the 70s and from Sam Hornish in 06 until yesterday, there had not been such an insane finish and such an exciting race at Indianapolis.
It was also the closest in the 500.
Of all time. You got it.
Yeah. But we'll look forward to reading it. Those of you who get Consumer Vision, Don has a featured sports column in that magazine. We'll talk about it later on. We have to run, unfortunately. Trent, it was great getting to know you. You can come back on the program anytime you wish. And keep up the good work with your sports show.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate your time. Tune in to Out of Sight Sports on the Street.
All right.
Know it.
Oh, yes.
Take care.
All right.
Go sleep with God. Take care. Blessings, everybody.
Take care.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.